a verbal of 130 and a performance IQ of 111. The variability of inter and intra tests indicate she is at present performing below potential. The interference of emotional attitudes is more marked in the areas of the test relating to the handling of practical aspects of living. For example, she's less able to plan or assume independence in certain actions than is meet with her intelligence. On the test, she shows at times quite a low tolerance for frustration and reacts, therefore, at these times with impulsive behaviors and thus obtains failures unnecessarily. What she will be interested in bears too close a relation to what she can master quickly. She perseveres when she is interested. The mastering or appearing to with speed and ease seems, however, to have become a defense of hers that actually interferes then at times with mastery itself as the goal. This defense may be related to her image of herself as a little girl or as too silly or as childish. Her drawings reveal an image of herself both as a little girl and as a kind of fashion plate woman. On the basis of these tests, it would appear that Wendy needs help to develop more respect for the practical, non-ideational areas of learning and living, and may need more help in learning to appreciate effortfulness to achieve along with the pleasure in the end achievement itself. Mark Strauch, given the revised Stanford Binet draw person and house tree person. The test was completed in November 1960 when Mark was 5'9". He obtains an IQ of 106, which seems to be definitely below his potential. He reacted sharply and negatively to any pressure to try a task he experienced any difficulty with initially. He withdraws very readily into a I don't know, or I don't wanna, or I can't. Or he will offer an incomplete, obviously silly answer in lieu of effortfulness or in lieu of outright rebellion. He has difficulty in maintaining or focusing his attention, has difficulty in concentrating, which seems related to emotional problems with adults. But the possibility of some hearing impairment as an additional factor should be checked. Though he seems to have very clearly established oppositional trends to adults, he has not in this process clarified what he would like to do in opposition to them. Instead, he manifests rather poor impulse controls, excessive sensitivity to criticism, and a competitiveness that is not related to any efforts to achieve the best score, for example. He just suffers from feeling competitive without it's challenging him to try to obtain the score that, or the behavior that he admires. There appears to be some need for further exploration by the family of possible help professionally. In understanding this child, not only is further material necessary to obtain, but his present behavior must be seen in the context of a rather remarkable recovery from a series of unfortunate events in his childhood from about 3 months on. By the time he got to kindergarten, overtly, he appeared to have made a remarkable recovery, both in the extent to which he participated socially and the extent to which he became involved with many materials. However, the difficulties revealed in the test continued to haunt and limit his intellectual, his academic, and social growth. Michael Carter, tests completed December 60 when he was 6'3". He receives an IQ of 101 on the revised Stanford-Binet and was also given draw a person test and house tree person test. In general, his behavior was extremely timid. He spoke as little as possible, sometimes even moving his lips without any voice. It was not clear whether his breathing difficulties in vocalizing at this time was specific to the anxieties of the test or is more general. One wants to question also whether there's a hearing problem. As far as the test performance is concerned, there is a suggestion that he has a higher potential. The test is characterized by extreme narrowness of range, with particular difficulties and constriction in the verbal area. Relatively, he becomes more expansive and assertive in the areas requiring practical solution and in the visual motor activities, such as, for example, memory for designs. In general, there seems to be some severe constrictions arising out of the family situation. He denied any knowledge of the meaning of the word family, and when asked to draw a family or describe one, he referred to a friend and a cousin rather than the typical family of parents and siblings. It is recommended, therefore, that the father become involved with the child in receiving counseling help in order to free Michael from some of the strong defenses of constriction to deal with his anxieties. Cynthia Brown completed tests June 1960 when she was 5'7". Received an IQ of 116 on the revised Stanford-Binet, was also given draw person and house tree person tests. Her general behavior was pleasant and cooperative, but to the point where her compliance was so immediate and soft as to become a kind of camouflage of any individuality. As for her test performance, there is an indication of higher potential since her vocabulary scores are a considerably higher level than other areas. Her ability to verbalize or understand abstract ideas is lower than her ability to reason and understand. In general, she seemed to be unable to hold on to an idea and had relatively poor rote memory, had difficulty in focusing attention, and was slow to understand the directions or requirements. It is not clear what are the sources of her anxiety or discomfort that lead to these difficulties in relating to the material, and therefore in managing to cope with them. There are some indications from the projective test that she withdraws from social contact, withdraws primarily from active participation, from any assertive participation in the environment. There seems to be an excessive emphasis on the socially correct facade, with underemphasis on self-initiative and self-development. The tests do not tell us what the sources of this defensive approach to her environment is. Paul Patterson, test given November 1960 when he was 12-1. He obtains a full IQ of 106 on the WISC, a verbal IQ of 113, and a performance IQ of 97. He was also given drawer person, house tree person, Bender Gestalt, and gray oral reading paragraphs. His behavior in general was very constrained and timid. He was impassive of face. No affect towards the test was shown. His test performance manifests great variability, indicating higher potential in general. In particular, the wide gap between his verbal abilities and his functioning in practical management of the environment is indicative of the way his emotional problems interfere with and inhibit his abilities. What are the indications of his emotional problems? His ability to comprehend appears to be on a superior level, but as soon as he becomes concerned about whether he's doing right, and therefore whether he's running the risk of being blamed, he retreats immediately from all efforts. He has low frustration tolerance together, however, with a denial of any feeling frustrated, and therefore a denial of any striving or achieving desires. Under these circumstances, he makes little or no effort, offering only a quick "I don't know" without any apparent concern about it. When the ideas call for visual motor skills, Paul's functioning is on a dull, normal level. His drawings are those of a frightened, suspicious child who is having severe anxieties and conflicts in body areas and who is also depressed, unable at these times to assume responsibility. He would tend to become impulsive. The impulsive reactions to anxiety are a further interference to performance and achievement. Louise Katz, tested January 61 when she was 9-7, obtains a full IQ of 106 on the WISC, a verbal IQ of 111, and a performance IQ of 99. She was also given drawer person, house tree person, Bender Gestalt, and the TAT. In general, she displayed anxiety and distrust, which she tended to cover over by efforts to establish a very personal, intimate relationship with the tester. She constantly asked for reassurance or help. On the test, the variations between verbal performance and practical handling of the environment items suggest interference with a higher potential. In general, she has more ability to handle the verbal material, less ability in judgment and handling of interpersonal relations. Her interest and ability in verbal abstractions and handling of visual motor skills is definitely on a superior level. This interest appears quite lacking in any particular managing or carrying through activities. Emotionally, she displays very low frustration tolerance, seems to be very dependent, seems to have a good deal of anxiety about her own hostility, makes very little effort on her own, has difficulty in focusing of her attention, and in maintaining any concentrated effort. For example, she reacts to the test demands often in an impulsive, inaccurate way, or can just stop trying in the middle, even on a time problem, because it presents a difficulty she cannot immediately master. She will probably react relatively better in a structured situation. What the sources are of her great anxiety are not revealed in these tests. She makes rather unsuccessful efforts at constriction. There is a recommendation that the parents seek some professional help to rescue this child from both her anxieties and her inadequate defenses against these.
Columbus apartment house. Peter sells other magazines for scrap, but not the Digest. Why? There are many reasons why Digest advertising sells products. An important one is that it is fitted into the magazine so well that people welcome it, find it pleasant rather than irritating. Mrs. David Westwater, a Columbus civic and social leader, is typical. A man to whom Digest advertising comes as no surprise is Donald Power, who commutes weekends to his Columbus home from the New York headquarters of General Telephone and Electronics Corporation, of which he is president. Where does this conscientious reading of the Digest begin? Mostly in schools. Half the high schools of this country use it as an aid to teaching English. Boys and girls the nation over form their permanent reading habits, shape their standards of living, select their levels of culture with the aid and influence of Reader's Digest. South High School is typical of Columbus and of America. And students keep loving it, right through their college and postgraduate careers. Dr. Navis G. Fawcett, president of Columbus's top educational institution, Ohio State University, discusses the power of the mass media at the university level. The expert on media at Ohio State is Dr. W. Arthur Cullman, formerly a top marketing, repeat. The expert on media at Ohio State is Dr. W. Arthur Cullman, formerly a top marketing executive at Philip Morris, and now professor of marketing and advertising at the university. Cut, John. The kinds of things that will make their life happier. This is what interests people today. This is your challenge and your opportunity. That is the marketing task of the 1960s. How can the Digest help? What makes it better equipped to do so? What makes it different from and superior to other media? First, as always, is its sheer size. In Columbus, it is bought every month by 23.4% of the families. The same percentage, incidentally, who buy it right across America. Second, it goes to the better customer prospect families. In the poorer sections of Columbus, where family incomes range around $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a year, Digest penetration is low, as it is for other magazines. To reach such people most effectively, you need television, radio, or newspapers. They do an amazing job of coverage there. But in the better sections, in the middle and upper income areas, no other medium can give you better access to the market, none more effectively, none more economically. Postal Zone 14 of Columbus has incomes of over $11,000 a year, has 36% of Digest subscribers. Bexley, with family incomes of over $12,000, has 43% Digest subscribers. And in Upper Arlington, with a family income over $16,500, digest penetration by subscription only is over 46%. And so it goes wherever you look in America. In Los Angeles, more families get the digest than any daily newspaper. The same is true in Boston, Dallas, and other scattered cities. But when you finish with the figures, a third area remains. How does the magazine affect its readers? What do they think of it and of the advertising in it? How do they act and react as a result? To learn this, you must go, as the digest researchers did, to the people themselves. Take people at random, any day, in any city. Phrase your own question. You will get answers like these from Columbus. Start with the business and civic leaders, like the members of the Metropolitan Committee. Every single one. Business leaders like John Galbraith, Bert Choate, Ed Winder, Robert Eichenhofer, the city's top merchant, Robert Lazarus, chief librarian, Margaret Carroll, William Ireland, head coach, Woody Hayes, Mayor Maynard Sensenbrenner, university hospital chief, Dr. Charles Doan. Ask the shoppers in the supermarkets. Ask the men and women on the go. How did Reader's Digest become this unique communications force, unlike anything that has ever existed before, enabling business to get its messages into every fourth home in America, read by prosperous, influential people in an atmosphere of belief that leads to acceptance and to sales? The answer is that people need it. Murray Lincoln, head of Columbus's largest business, the Nationwide Insurance Companies, has thought this through and related it to his own business, as you may to yours. Finito.